Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
You know I'm hungry. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here to dish up some deliciously delectable, consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. And before we get started, I want to make sure to give a shout-out to Gay Adegbolola, who brings us in with Hungry Woman Blues. And, you know, I have used her song, gosh, the whole 5 years we've been doing this show, because I mean, it truly does speak to what we do here, and I always say we have the cure for the hungry woman and hungry man blues on this show. We're on first and second Sundays at 6. We dish up a dollop of divinely delicious, natural, and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. And so I would even hazard to say tonight, with our particular guest and the topic, we have the cure for the hungry pet blues, and you'll be finding out more about that in a few minutes. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I answered Spirit's call many moons ago to work within my practice and ministry, which has gone through various incarnations, and it's now called Mind, Body, and Spirit Works. And what I do is I facilitate expression of one's highest self through divinely inspired and assisted holistic healing, teaching, coaching, and writing services. And so I wear many hats, most definitely, and I love switching off with the various hats. And one of them I absolutely adore is when I put on my hat, or I guess I'd say the headphones, for this show, Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which has provided an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of some amazingly gifted holistic healers and light workers. And I always like to pause and thank all of you who listen and support the show. And a special thank you to those who tuned in last Sunday, where one of my BFFs and a truly enlightened and just overall crazy guy, Reverend Anthony Farmer, returned to talk about his upcoming book, Conversations with the Elders, The Sacred Journeys, Volumes 1 through 3. And, you know, the book, I am looking forward to it coming out. I have been reading his journeys over the years, and I've read part of this book, and I have enjoyed it immensely. And also, he put into perspective some of what appears to be chaotic in our world using wisdom from the elders that he tunes into. And as if that wasn't enough, he shared powerful messages for our callers. So the show was chock full of and fabulous. And if you missed it or any other show that we've done over the past 5+ years, I invite you to check them out on demand. Well, I am equally excited tonight. We have an author who has written a new book that has truly enlightened me. And as a result, I've been making some behavioral changes with my beloved miniature pincher, or min pin, Chi. And some of you have heard me talk about Chi periodically. Some of you may have heard Chi in the background as I record, if he has managed to get from upstairs to where I am recording. So I have learned a lot, and I look forward to learning even more to do a better job as a mom to Chi. And I'm thrilled that you will get a chance to hear our author talk about the book and provide some useful tools that you can use to improve your communication and thus relationship with your scaled, furry, or feathered friend. So without further ado, let's give a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to the author of Talking with Dogs and Cats, joining the conversation to improve behavior and bond with your animals, Tim Link. Good evening, Tim.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it is such a pleasure. So if you could share with our listeners who you are and what do you serve at your healing table?
Well, I am a man of many hats as well, so I do a lot of different things, all of them are around the critters of the world. So I am an animal communicator and consultant, so I work with people and institutions such as sanctuaries and aquariums and zoos. Whenever there are challenges with their animals, when there's behavior changes going on within the animals in their care, I do a lot of work with missing animals and hopefully locating them and reuniting them with their families. And also do grief counseling. So people that have animals that are about to make their transition or have made their transition, helping them through that process. So that's my sort of full-time gig. You know, in addition to that, I'm an author and a writer and a public speaker. I host a nationally syndicated radio show called Animal Rights. And the list goes on and on. But mostly it's if it has something to do with an animal and I can help them out, that's what I'm here for.
Awesome. Wow. You, what you do is also chock full of and very rewarding, I am sure. And so now I know that you have been a writer, as you say, and you contribute to magazines, et cetera. But now you have this book out called Talking with Dogs and Cats. And if you could tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, Talking with Dogs and Cats is sort of broken into a two-part type of book. The first part deals with animal communication 101. You know, how, what is it? How do you connect with your animals at that deep level? How do you speak their language? You know, they talk in a telepathic manner to each other. So how do you get to that level? How do you go back to your beginnings of life when we all trusted our instincts and when we were totally open to everything around us? How do you get back to that? And more importantly, how do you communicate with them and also understand what they're trying to tell you? And the second part of the book deals with those everyday challenges. If you've got dogs and cats in your life, you're probably going to run into these things. Things like, why does the cat stop using the litter box? Why does the dog always bark when the doorbell rings? Sounds familiar, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so these are things we deal with all the time, introducing new people, introducing new animals to the household, all of these things that we're going to run into. So the book deals with how do you actually communicate with your animals both verbally and visually and also in a positive manner to get the best results possible, to get the best understanding of what they need and what you need from them to help improve that situation. So it's really a gets down and dirty on how to do all this at a very simplistic level, make sure everybody understands that they have the skills and techniques to do it. They just need to be able to brush up on those skills and techniques, and also to trust what they're receiving. And that's what the book is really all about. How do you really connect with your animals, communicate with them effectively, and bond with them?
Wonderful. And it is wonderful. I'm telling you, I am putting things into practice, and I am quite proud of myself, I must say. And just like anyone with a little bit of knowledge, they want to tell the world about it and get everybody else on board. So I've started to sound kind of like a smart aleck in the household as I'm quoting information from the book on how we should be communicating with Chi. So I hope my family will be gentle with me and stop giving me the side eye very soon.
Well, you know, these are all things. One of the things I talk a lot about in the book is actually verbally communicating with your animals. And, you know, this goes much deeper than our normal training techniques. I believe training with animals is very, very important. But, you know, especially when we're talking about dogs, we're familiar with how to teach them to sit and to stay and to lay and to roll over and all these what we call commands when we're doing training. And what I'm trying to accomplish in this book is how do you actually have a conversation with them? You know, most people communicate with their animals now. They talk to their animals. They may not know that their animals understand everything that they're saying, but they actually do. And so how do you do that in a more effective way? How do you make sure they understand what you're needing from them and in return what they need from you?
And I want to get into that, but before we do, I'm just really fascinated with, and, you know, I have to tell you, I ask this question many times with people who come on, usually on first Sunday, who have special intuitive or channeling gifts, and I ask them about when they first came to realize they had this particular gift, how was it established, et cetera, and also what was the reaction, what was their reaction, and what was the reaction of their friends and family. So how did you first come to realize that you had the gift of communication with animals, and then how did everybody react to that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I came to it much later in life. You know, I've always loved animals, but I grew up in a very small household. We, our house was 675 square feet with two older sisters, myself, my mom, and dad, in the middle of Indiana. So there's not a whole lot of room to have animals in a house of that size. As a matter of fact, we didn't even have indoor plumbing until I came along. So that gives you an idea.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a very, very small environment, but I've always appreciated the animals and always loved them. But I probably didn't have the background of, you know, rescuing cats from trees and bringing wounded squirrels home, these type of things, like maybe you've heard from others who have this or similar type gifts. But in 2004, that was all going to change. There was a major shift about to happen in my life, unbeknownst to me. I had spent 20 years as a telecom executive. So I was the first of my family to go to college, and I worked my way through college and started a career in telecommunications, a very successful one. And I traveled the world selling advanced technologies for cellular phone systems, working with the biggest names in the industry like Texas Instruments and Microsoft and Intel, all those folks. But in 2004, a communicator, a healer by the name of Judy Byers was going to come to the Atlanta area. And Judy had been, she was one of those that lived on a farm and rescued small critters all of her life and brought them home. Whether her mom wanted her to or not, she did it anyway. But Judy had a gift to be able to connect with animals at a deep level. And she taught techniques on how to, you know, sort of clear your mind, get rid of what I call the post-it notes on the brain, as we, as I like to call them, the little monkey mind. So how do you clear that? How do you breathe to clear yourself and center yourself? And how do you open your heart and your mind to the possibility of being able to connect with animals at a much deeper level? And so she came down to teach a little half-day workshop. And really, it wasn't my idea at all. It was my wife Kim's birthday weekend. She had heard about Judy. She thought it'd be great to go, hoping to open up her inner self to be able to connect with those animals, because she is my Ellie Mae Clampett of the world. She's never seen a critter she didn't like. And so I thought, well, this will be, you know, being a good husband, I got the birthday card, I got the flowers, and now I got the perfect gift. I'm good to go for one more year. I'm covered. So we signed up for the workshop. And in the workshop, Judy taught these techniques, and there were about a dozen of us in the workshop, and we had live animals there, and we had pictures of our animals. And we were all asked to write down a couple of simple questions, things that we knew the answers to, but nobody else knew the answers to. Fairly simple things like, you know, what color is Fluffy's litter box? Where does Spot like to sleep? Where does Winnie eat her hay? These type of things. And we were to connect with these pictures, connect with the animals, see what we received back, ask those questions, and then write down the information we received back. Whatever form it came to us, just write it down. And so we did. I went through the techniques, learned to, you know, meditate a little bit, breathe, open my heart, open my mind to the idea, connected with these animals, asked those questions, and each and every time I received information. At that time, it was a couple of words or maybe a vision, a picture of some sort. So I jot down that information, not knowing if it was right or wrong or indifferent. And then as we went around the room, we shared what we received from the animals. And every single time, not only did I receive the information, but it was 100% accurate.
Wow.
So we went through up to close to 100 different connections with the animals, and every time it was totally accurate. And so I thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. This is cool. This is very strange. What the heck was I going to do with this? You know, is it real? Maybe I should go now, go get my lotto ticket because I'm on a roll.
Of course.
I wasn't sure how much it cost to fly to Vegas, but I was willing to go and hit the table, see how well it went, because I knew I had something going on here, but I wasn't sure what was going on.
Right.
And when you talk about the world sort of opening up and shifting, you know, immediately I thought, well, what does this mean to me, and how was I going to use this in my world? If this was truly a gift that was starting to open itself up, it wasn't like I could go to the executives of a top, you know, major Fortune 500 company and say, well, hey, tell you what, you buy like $30 million worth of my technology I'm selling, and I'll come by and tell you why Fluffy's no longer using the litter box. Yeah, I knew those two worlds weren't quite in alignment. I think we're getting closer every single day, but those two worlds don't quite align. And I wasn't sure what this was all about. So I continued to work with it, kept it quiet for a while, worked with my own animals. Later, started working with animals of friends that were open to the idea. I was part of an animal healing ministry at my church, so I had an opportunity to work with animals there. And then later became president of a local humane society here in the greater Atlanta area. And so the gift continued to grow at this point. I started trusting it more. I started receiving multiple words and pictures, feelings, emotions, smells, tastes. All these things were starting to come through each and every time I connected with an animal. And I finally had to ask myself, what was this really all about? And is this more than what I had anticipated it being? And so I went into my guidance. I asked my guides, my spirits, what this was about. Should I continue to play small with this and keep it quiet and continue my successful career in telecom? Or is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this finally my purpose of what I'm supposed to be doing is helping people with their animals? And my guidance came through loud and clear that day and said, this is your purpose. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Don't delay. Do it now. Go. And so I did. I went home after church that day and typed up my resignation and left my 20-year career in telecom behind and hung up my little internet sign called Wagging Tails, T-A-L-E-S, and said, okay, here I am. Let's do this. And haven't looked back. So it's been almost a decade now, actually over a decade now since I've been doing this. And it's been a blessing every single day. And so I think when you ask about, do friends think about it, family members think about it? Well, it's a shift, and I think it's when you go through a change in your life, some people are going to be able to resonate with that and come along on the ride with you, climb that mountain with you and elevate to your level, at whatever level that is, and others can't. And so, there were a lot of friends that left. When I told them what I could do and what this gift was all about and I was going to leave this career in telecom behind, they moved on because we weren't resonating. We weren't vibrating at the same level at that point. And, at first it was hard. It was hard to do that, even with family members. Some family members got a little bit more quiet on me or they tried to justify it in some manner, thinking, okay, well, he's a dog trainer. That's it. Yeah, he trains it. Even Whisperer was something that was accessible. He's a Whisperer because we'd all heard about the Horse Whisperer. The Robert Redford movie and all that. So that was okay. And, we'd heard the Dog Whisperer on TV. And so that, for some reason, was a terminology that everybody could grab a hold of. But to others, when you start talking about intuitive gifts and these type of things, some people just can't grasp onto that. But I think the amazing thing about it is, As the shift happened and as some people moved on, you know, I learned that I needed to just thank them for that journey, thank them for being part of my life, whether it was for a short period of time or a long period of time, mm-hmm. that they were here for a reason or a season or and some for a lifetime. And for others, open that door wide open. I end up connecting with more people that did resonate with me, did understand, wanted to be part of this journey. And I think I have more people now that I would truly call friends than I've ever had before.
Wow. That is such an amazing story. And, you know, I hear something similar when I talk to people who have this gift, and it's with communicating with spirits or what have you. And so I have to say you were the first that I've spoken with who has such a clear connection with animals here on the earth plane, because I have spoken with some who have communicated with animal spirits on the other side. So it's an amazing gift, and I applaud you for your courage in making that shift and dealing with all that came along with it. I know it must not have been easy for you, but on the other side of it, how rewarding. What a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's, you know, I talk about it in the book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, how we all have a purpose. There's a purpose and a reason for our animals to come into our lives. I believe they're here whether it's to teach us, to heal us, to get us through situations, troubles in our life, provide clarity, provide amusement. There are certain reasons that they pick us and they come into our lives, and they try every day to fulfill that purpose. And I think it's the same thing with humans. You know, we have a purpose. A lot of times it's standing right in front of us, but we don't see it. We don't allow ourselves to see it. Or we're not willing to take that leap of faith. We're not willing to follow it in fear of how it will be perceived or how we'll be perceived. And I try to encourage people in the book, talk about you've got to find your purpose. I believe whatever that purpose is, it doesn't have to be grandiose. It doesn't have to be spiritual in any means. Just find that purpose and then live every single day to try to fulfill that purpose. And at the end of the day, in the end of your life here on this plane, you're going to feel much better about it. You're going to feel you've done everything you've set out to do, and it'll be a blessing for you.
Yes. I believe that. And it's interesting how you do talk in the book about each of these animal companions come in our life and they serve a purpose. My very first animal companion as an adult was a cat. And Belle was a suggestion, not by me, because I always wanted a dog in my life, but my lifestyle did not support a dog. I was gone constantly. And so a friend suggested a cat. They're more independent, etc. So she and her partner took me down to the Humane Society, and I found a cat that just called out to me. She was a Maine Coon cat, Belle. And Belle really was there for me during a divorce. And she provided such comfort and such healing. And every time I heard that purring noise in the morning time, I would just wake up to peace. And then it came to a point where I became allergic, whereas I had not been before, and I had to shut Belle from my bedroom. And it broke my heart, and I know it broke her heart. And it did not take long before I let her wander outside sometimes. But one time my neighbor knocked on my door, and she asked me, "I hope you didn't let your kitty out." And I said, "Yeah, I did." And she said she was hit. She was in the road, and she was hit by a car and passed away. And it broke my heart, but I realized that she came for a particular reason, and she got me through a tough time, provided such comfort and healing, and I really was in a much better, stronger place at that point. So I'm always grateful to her coming and providing that healing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's very interesting because I find with animals that, you know, when they make their transition, when they know that either their body's no longer going to serve them or they have fulfilled their purpose, then they'll move on. They will move out of their body sometimes and make their transition. And other times they'll move on to another person or to another location to continue to fulfill that purpose with another individual. The interesting thing about them is they understand their bodies very well, and they're not attached to them like we are. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, they understand their bodies, but when they're ready to make their move, whatever way they can, they make that transition, whether we help them out or they pass on their own or they do get hit or get into danger. It's usually something where they know that they've done what they set out to do and their body was the vehicle that they used while they were here. Unlike us humans, you know, we often get under the misconception that our bodies are who we are. When actually it's just a meat suit that we walk around in and try to do the best we can with what we got. But, you know, we have a hard time letting go, and that's why we hang on to the very last moment. It's why even after we've made our transitions, we have to have these this closure with funerals and observations and, you know, viewing times and things of this sort, because we connect ourselves so deeply with our bodies. In reality, we should follow the lead of our animals and realize that this is the vehicle we've got. Do the best every day you can with that vehicle. And then when it's time to go, move on.
Well, I want to talk about us, the layperson who may not necessarily have this gift or have it developed to the extent that you have, and how we can communicate with animals. But before we do, I wanted to make sure to open up the phone lines and invite listeners to call in if they have questions, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
So if anyone has a question for Tim Link, author of Talking with Dogs and Cats, then the number is 917-889-7806. Again, that is 917-889-7806. Make sure you press 1 to speak with the host, and that indicates to me that you actually do have a question and want to be heard versus this is just your mode of listening into the show, because some people do listen in that way. So, with that being said, let's get back to, you know, us regular folk and communicating with animals. Can anyone communicate with animals?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I talk a lot about that in the book, Talking with Dogs and Cats. You know, when we're young, when we're children, 3, 4, 5 years old, we naturally communicate with animals and communicate with everything around us. You know, our ability to be able to open ourselves up and have conversations with those in this world and on the other side is natural. You know, it's not necessarily accepted. You know, sometimes parents will tell you, oh, you know, little Timmy's got such an imagination. You know, or you know, he's talking to his invisible friend again, or whatever it may be. Unfortunately, you know, by the time we get to be, you know, in our school years, we are taught to think a certain way and act a certain way, and to use our verbal skills in a manner that we communicate with, and we lose touch with that ability to be able to connect at that telepathic level and to be able to have those conversations. So what I suggest in the book, and I give you some techniques and some guidelines on how to do that, is to get back to that center point, get back to your youth, not by using cosmetics or you know, vitamins or anything like that, but you know, get back to your inner youth, you know, your connection you have with everything around you. And you, the best way to do that is to center yourself. So you spend quiet time in connecting with everything around you. You breathe to clear yourself and to clear your mind and open your chakras up and get everything flowing properly. And you allow yourself to trust whatever it is that you're receiving and in whatever fashion you're receiving it. So whether it's words, colors, feelings, pictures, emotions, trust that information. Trust those instincts that you have. And you use that to be able to connect with the animals and trust what you're receiving from them. And I think you'll find out that whatever you're receiving and you trust it is totally accurate. It comes through loud and clear at that point, as long as you're trusting yourself to follow it.
And, you know, trust is key with this, because I remember getting this same advice when I took classes and would do practice in opening to spirit and in hearing, you know, from other realms information, or not just hearing, but I tend to more feel and sense, sometimes see, sometimes hear, but just trusting that I'm not making stuff up. That
exactly.
What I'm receiving, I'm actually receiving, you know, and that is key.
Absolutely. The trust factor is the most important part of this. You know, I teach a lot of workshops on animal communication, and the biggest challenge we run into is trusting what you're receiving in the fashion that you're receiving it. You know, it's our natural instinct as a human to start to overanalyze everything. We can't touch it in our hands. You know, we don't believe it's real. So if it's not real, then it can't be true. So we have to get to that point where what you are receiving, trust it. You know, and it's interesting because I talk about this also in the book and in lectures that I do and speaking events that I do. I talk a lot about that trust factor, trusting what you receive, and getting comfortable with it. So, for instance, we all know the terminology of I've got a gut instinct. You know, trust your gut, as we say it. And that's a terminology that's been around for years and years and years, and everybody knows that. Well, what they don't know is that gut is basically your inner chakra, your inner knowing. So you're talking about, in the gut area, you're talking about that you know, connection between the sacral and the solar plexus chakras. That's your center of knowing that everything is true. And when those are open and vibrating at the colors and the level that they should be vibrating, you receive that information. For the layman person that's not familiar with all this, if I were to tell you, well, hey, you know, open up your solar plexus chakras and allow that vibration of yellow to vibrate, and you think, okay, all right, Tim. Okay, cutting off now.
Right.
But if I tell you to trust your gut instincts, you know, and in school we know that the first thing that we start to, if we're doing a multiple choice test, for instance, the first answer we come up with is usually the correct answer.
Right.
So if I'm telling you that, that's acceptable in today's society. But if I told you to use your instincts, use your feelings and emotions to be able to connect, clear your mind and connect with that that energy that's around you, you know, once again, you'd be like, okay, Tim, that's a little bit much. So we got to get back to knowing that these are the same things. No matter what you call it, however you want to label it, it doesn't matter. It's going back to that trust and trusting whatever you receive in whatever fashion you receive it in, go with it, and I think you'll be surprised how accurate it is.
Well, I have to tell you that I first started reading your book when I was away on a business trip, and it was a retreat for meditation and deep transformation, and I was doing a private chef gig. Thought I would try this out, and you know, also doing a lot of holding space for those people who were doing this healing. And there were a couple of days in there of silence. So not only were we not talking with each other, but we also turned off all of our electronic communications, all of our toys, all of our addictions. And so I knew that this was planned, and so I chose to bring your book along because I knew I could get started reading on it while I was there. And so I just got so fascinated with the book, and I decided I would test your theories out. So we happened to be in a beach house across the street from the beach, and I was working so hard, I didn't get to the beach often, but I did get to the front deck, and I sat there and I ate my breakfast in the mornings. And so on three different occasions, I tried out your techniques of just clearing my mind, connecting in, breathing, and I would call out to the dolphins. And I would just talk to them telepathically about how much I appreciated them. It brought me such delight and joy just to see them. And I just welcomed them just showing up for a little bit of time. I would really appreciate it. And I would visualize them coming within the view of that particular line of sight that I had. And on all three occasions, they came.
There you go. Absolutely. So you opened yourself up to, you got in that quiet space, you asked, and thus you received. And that's the key when you're communicating with the animals, whether you're just asking them to be in your presence so you can enjoy them, enjoy their energy, just to be part of them, or ask them if they have something to share with you. Immediately you get to that clearing space, you get to that quiet zone, you ask both, you can do it verbally as well as in your mind's eye and in your intuitive space. And ask that information, and you'll see them come. You'll see them respond to you in some fashion. And it may not be in the fashion that you had fully expected it, but it's pretty darn amazing, isn't it, once it happens?
Very amazing and so delightful. It really was a highlight of my time away. It really was.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. So it's good to know that these techniques work with more than just our pets.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think it's the way to look at everything in life. You know, once we are centered and we are open to receive, all the blessings come our way. Everything, it just is a whole new world at that point. We have to allow ourselves to be able to get in that space. And it's challenging at times, you know, because we have this thing called life. You know, we have bills to pay and we have jobs to do and we have neighbors that may think oddly of us and family members and whatever it may be. You know, we have commitments that we have to follow. I think the key thing is we got to find time for ourselves, and we don't often do that. I mean, how many times outside of the class, the workshop that you took, how many times have you actually shut off that cell phone or turned off that computer? I think for most of us, it's a very difficult thing to do. It's hard to lose that connection and open up a different connection, and that's the key. You got to do it for yourself. If you're gonna, you know, do it for the animals, but definitely do it for yourself to be able to find that quiet space to get back to what makes you center, makes you whole.
And it will be mutually beneficial, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So focusing in on our particular pets, what is the best way to build better relationships with them?
Well, I think the key thing is we need to spend some time with them one-on-one. It's amazing. I live in a lovely little community just north of Atlanta, and it's a very it's near a golf course area, and there's newer homes, and there's wonderful sidewalks. And there are parks. We're blessed within a five-mile radius of our house to have about a half a dozen different types of parks. So you can take your dog to a different one every single day. So it's a really lovely place. But I can't count the number of times when I've seen people out walking their dogs, and they're busy texting or they're busy talking on their phones. They're busy doing other things other than spending time with their animals. And they think that's satisfactory, you know, and it's almost often, I think, in their mindset, it's a job. You know, it's something they have to do. I got to take the dog out for a walk. Instead, why don't you have a conversation with your dog? Why don't you spend some time observing what your dog is doing? You know, how many times do they stop and smell the roses? Which they do. You know, they smell every bush,
right.
Every plant, things you don't want them to smell. They smell it. Doesn't matter. So go out and observe what they're doing and think to yourself, you know, when's the last time I did that? When's the last time I noticed that there was a particular flower blooming or a bush that had grown or, a bird had dropped a seed and all of a sudden a tree starting to grow in the section of the yard or a section of the neighborhood. So getting to the point where you're spending dedicated time with them one-on-one. And then, of course, having conversations, talking to them verbally because they understand everything that we're saying. More so than we would ever know, because when we have conversations, they pick up on everything that we're talking about. If we're talking about having a vacation, they're wanting to know what's going on. So they're grabbing their toys and their bones and their catnip, and they're like, pack my bag. Am I going or what's going on here? So they realize that, and that's when you start, if you'll notice, when you start talking about going on vacation, going to work, or doing somebody coming to visit, whatever it may be, the behavior of your animal usually changes because they're wondering
yes.
what's going on. Yeah. And then, of course, every time we say a word or a series of words, we send out a mental picture, a subconscious picture of everything we're talking about. So if we're talking about going on the vacation and we're going to go down to the beach, it's going to be a nice, you know, two-story beach home. They've got lawn, you know, beach chairs waiting for us, and we'll have a little scooter to use. Every time we say all this, we're projecting mental pictures of that. We're seeing the house we're going to be staying in. We're seeing the beach chairs. We're seeing the the scooter and everything. And so they're very visual, tuned into our visual projections out there. So the more cognizant we are with the mental picture we're projecting by saying the words that we're saying, the better they understand us, the better they pick up on what we're trying to tell them. And of course, when we talk to them out loud, our energy goes up to a higher level. We go up to that positive energy space. You know, it's that old terminology of, you know, talk about it, you'll feel better.
You know, mm-hmm.
talk about it, get it off your chest. You know, we hear these terminologies. Well, that's what we're talking about. When we do communicate, whether it's to our animals or to each other, in a verbal manner, and we send out a very strong mental picture of what we're trying to say, we feel better. Our energy goes up to a positive level. And, of course, animals in particular always respond to positive energy. So it's very important to be able to have those verbal conversations, send out a very strong mental picture of what you're trying to tell them, and in return feel good about what you're saying, feel positive about what you're saying. And I think you'll, at that point, have some real conversations and really bond with your animals at a even greater level than you'd ever imagined.
Those are some really helpful tips, and I thank you for that, because I know I have been caught in the trap sometimes of taking my cell phone along with me while I'm taking Chi out for a walk, because, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, this is taking him out so that he can use the bathroom and get everything set and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not thinking, this is my time for bonding with him and we could be having conversations. So I thank you for that reminder, and I am going to most definitely do better, because he just wants to be loved and hugged and you know, scratched and massaged, and he loves Reiki and all of that stuff, you know, and he wants to get out and about, and he wants my attention while we do it. And so, you know, the cell phone will definitely be put away as I do that.
There you go. Love it. I'm sure he'll love it, too, and you'll get more enjoyment out of it as well.
Yes, most definitely. I want to let folks know we only have a few more minutes left, so if there's anyone who would like to call in and chat with or ask a question of our wonderful guest, Tim Link, author of Talking with Dogs and Cats, the number is 917-889-7806, and you can press 1 to indicate that you want to chat with the host. And I know that this is a topic that's going to continue to get lots of plays over the coming weeks, because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, more and more people that I'm encountering are getting pets. Whether it's a bird or goldfish or, you know, a cat or a dog. But, you know, I think it's that phenomenon, you know, if someone has a child, they notice that, okay, all of my friends around me are having children now. But now that I have a pet, it's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize so-and-so has a pet and so-and-so. And then in this age of social media, you get to see all these pet photos, et cetera. Especially last month we had Dog Appreciation Month, or so it was so heartwarming to see photos of people with their precious dog friends.
it really is. And you know, when we talk about I've written articles or wrote articles about the National Pet Day, National Dog Day, and of course Kat's going to have their due coming up here in another month or so. So we've got to make sure we're hitting all aspects of it. And obviously, when we talk about you know, today is National Pet Memorial Day. So it's a day of remembrance of animals that have been part of our lives and have made their transition to the Rainbow Bridge, and to honor them and to think about them, which for most of us, I think, that have had animals that have made their transition tend to think about them all the time, every day. So today's a good day to set aside just to do that. If you haven't done that, allow yourself to do that.
Well, thank you for that. And I did mention my beloved cat, Belle, and I have to also honor Jesse, my cockatiel, who's now in spirit, who was a wonderful, wonderful companion for many years. And so, you know, it's interesting, being National Pet Memorial Day, that you said, we were talking before the show started, you were talking about how your day had been and how you had spent some time helping someone whose animal was transitioning. And it's just fascinating, you know, you mentioned all the hats that you wear, the many different hats. What are some of the things that you do when you are consulting with folks or communicating with animals? A typical day in the life.
Oh, wow. There is no such thing as a typical day in the life. I'm sure you can attest to that as well. For me, each and every day is different. It really is. You know, when I go into the office every day, I'm checking voicemails, I'm checking emails, I'm getting contacts from people literally around the world that have challenges with their animals or have an animal that has passed or is going to make their transition and how to deal with that, and missing animals. I do a lot of work with missing animals and trying to locate them and bring them back to their families or the sanctuaries or wherever, you know, the caretakers that are taking care of them. So each and every day, it's different. Today, for instance, I've been working with a lady who has a cat that is going to be making its transition. And she thought going into today that she would assist the cat in making the transition today. She actually had her veterinarian willing to come over and help with the transition in their house. And so she was, you know, I was helping prepare the animal for that, communicating to the animal what would happen, and also providing Reiki. I'm a Reiki master, so I provide Reiki energy healing for the animal. And then part of the way through it, you know, a few hours before she was going to have to make that final decision, she had a little bit of a change of a heart. You know, the animal had shown some signs of some strength, had shown some signs of wanting to eat again, get up and move again. Whether this is a resurgence or not is to be determined, but it put that doubt in her mind. And so, you know, I'm basically walking her through it. I cannot tell her what to do. She has to trust that situation. But I can tell her what the animal's wishes are, what the animal's communicating with me as far as, you know, does it want to make its transition? How does it want to make its transition? And helping her better understand that. And I think at the end of the day with her situation, she has chosen to wait a little bit longer. She wanted to make sure it resonated with her and made sure that the animal was resonating with the animal. The animal wasn't in any immediate pain, but it was definitely had been struggling, had not eaten for several days, and really wasn't consuming any fluids either, which then could lead into you know, a lot of discomfort and a lot of pain as well. So, you know, that was a day, you know, walking through this, trying to decide, you know, what is best, helping her understand what her animal's wishes are based on what the animal's telling me, and allowing her to make her own decisions. And that's important because it's not obviously an easy thing to do, whether we help them make their transition or whether we allow them to try to transition on their own. It's a difficult situation to go through. Been through it many, many times myself. There's no right or wrong answer. There is none of them's easier than the other. They're all a challenge, and we all, I think it's human nature, we tend to beat ourselves up over this quite a bit, especially after the animal has made their transition. We start to wonder, you know, did we do too much or not enough? Did we do it too soon or not, you know, not soon enough? Why didn't I catch this sooner? Does my animal still love me? You know, do they hate me? These type of things, which animals obviously don't. They don't deal with that type of ego. They're, you know, pure in spirit, pure in love, and so they don't deal with things like hatred. So, you know, that's sort of a day in my life. On top of that, I'm doing the radio interviews and promoting the book. I'm preparing for my own radio show coming up tomorrow evening. So it's a whole plethora of things, and I never really know what's going to happen. Working with a lady who has a lost dog in Alaska. So, each day it's unique. It's a blessing. It's great to be able to help out. We're always hoping for the best for the animal and the human companion. But it also has its fair share of challenges.
Wow. Well, it is amazing work that you do. It truly is, and it's fascinating to me. And you share so many wonderful anecdotes in your book, pulling from your own life experience dealing with the various animals that you've had in your life. What do you hope people will gain from reading your book?
Well, I want them to be able to understand that there are ways to communicate with your animals at a more effective level, to be able to bond with them, and to take this information, apply it to everything you already know about animals, and apply it to everything that you've learned through your training classes you may have done with your animals, and then build upon that. Go a step further, and I think you'll be amazed at the outcome that you'll find through this. And so that's what I'm hoping to accomplish. I really want people to bond at a closer and much deeper level than they ever expected with their animals. And I think at the end of the day, that's what most of us want. As well, you know, we want to be able to understand our animals better and do the very best we can for them, and appreciate them while they're with us.
And I know it has certainly accomplished that purpose with me and Chi, and I am going to continue to follow your wonderful suggestions and insights, and to continue to work on opening my communication with Chi so that I can be a better steward of his care.
There you go. And I'm sure you and Chi will both appreciate that greatly.
Well, thank you for that. Now, for folks who want to get a copy of your book, how can they do that?
Yeah, Talking with Dogs and Cats, it's available nationwide at all major online as well as brick-and-mortar stores. So just go to your favorite retailer, and you can purchase a copy there. You can also go to talkingwithdogsandcats.com to find out more about me and the events I'll be doing, workshops and media appearances and book signings, things of this sort. So it's talkingwithdogsandcats.com. And then find out more about me and maybe have your own consultation with your animals and your life, you can go to wagging-tales.com. That's wagging-tales.com. And you can find out more about me, download episodes of my shows and appearances, and obviously sign up for your own consultations to see what your animals have to say.
Wonderful. All right, well, I'm going to have to make sure and tune into your show as well and hear some of the insights, because I have truly enjoyed chatting with you and just learning from you this evening. So I thank you.
Well, I thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's lovely to talk to you, and look forward to hearing all the results and all the wonderful things that you and Chi are going to be doing.
Thanks so much. And I thank those who listened in for this episode. And I invite you to tune in again next month on the first and second Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for more Mind, Body, and Soul Food. We are still confirming our guests for the first Sunday. I'm quite excited, and I'll be announcing who that is in the next day or so. And then on the second Sunday, I will be delighted to have my dear friend and healing sister, as well as a breast cancer survivor, Reverend Sensei Sabira Falami, sitting in as co-host with me as we chat with author Janet Roseman about her book, If Joan of Arc Had Cancer. So if you would like to contact me, Tanya Parker, you can do so at Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, at mindbodyandspiritworks.com for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services. Check out my upcoming classes and retreats and other things that I'm working on. You can also go to my website, Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, www.mindbodyandspiritworks.com. And you can find out about my new young adult novel, Diary of a Witch's Daughter, which is now available on Amazon and Kindle format. And the audio version is coming out soon. So this evening we received a treat from Tim Link as he shared about his book, Talking with Dogs and Cats. And for leftovers, I will leave you with some mind, body, and soul food to go from the book. Each and every dog and cat and other animals has a voice. So I urge you to turn your listening ears on until we next dine at the mind, body, and soul food table. Have a great evening.
One, two, here I go.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Give it to me, baby. Give it to me, baby. I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, you can feed.